Okay, the two primary views that we have of the story mind, suppose we took this mind out. We held it in front of us. Alas, poor mind. We hold it in front of us. We have two ways of looking at this mind. We have the objective view as we hold it out in front of us and say, this is what's going on inside that mind. Now remember, this is a mind, not a brain. It's like a visible mind. What if you could see thoughts? Well, that's what happens when we look at characters. We see thoughts. What if you could see methodologies of problem solving? That's what happens when we see plot. What happens if we could see the evaluations that this mind is using as its standard of measurement? What does it evaluate things in terms of? Well, that's theme. And what if we looked at the nature of the mind overall? What kind of a mind is it? Well, that's genre. So you hold out this mind and you look at it objectively, kind of like a general on a hill. You can watch the characters doing what they're doing, the soldiers doing what they're doing. You can see the strategies, the battle plans. It doesn't mean you don't have any feeling for it because you're looking at it from the outside. It just means you're not involved. You have a dispassionate view. That's the objective view of story, the view of the story mind. But then we can take that mind and make it our own. Stick it inside ourselves, and suddenly we have the view from the story mind, as if it were our own mind. We feel what it feels. We see what it sees. It's the view through the eyes of what we call the main character in Dramatica. Many people talk about a main character. We see it in Dramatica a little bit differently. The main character is a subjective character. You'll find that that dividing line between the objective view of looking at the soldiers doing their thing and the view from the soldier in the trenches who's actually fighting the battle, that soldier in the trenches doesn't see the big picture, doesn't see the strategies unfolding, but just sees the person coming at him with a bayonet. That's the main character. We stand in their shoes, we experience what they experience, we see the story through their eyes. The main character is not necessarily the protagonist. First of all, protagonist is an archetypal character, and there are many other kinds of characters you can create who drive a story other than protagonists. But let's just look at an archetypal character called a protagonist for a moment and see why the main character is not the same thing. We talked about the objective story, the view of the story mind. The protagonist is the prime mover of that objective story. Protagonist is an objective character. The part we empathize with of the traditional hero-type character you hear about is the main character part. The main character is the prime mover of the subjective story. Here's how it works. Often, main character and protagonist are put into the same player, the same body. They do double duty. They not only advance the story, but they're also the person through whose eyes you see the story and experience it. And that becomes, quote-unquote, the typical hero. First you have to have an archetypal character, a protagonist, and then you have to have a main character and stuff the main character into the same body as the protagonist, and when everything lines up like an alignment of the planets, then you've got your typical hero. However, look at something like To Kill a Mockingbird. In To Kill a Mockingbird, Atticus, the lawyer, played by Gregory Peck, he is the protagonist. He's the one who is trying to get the black man acquitted who was wrongly accused of raping a white girl. That's the function of the objective story. Objective story being what everybody in the story is concerned with. They all have a common interest in it. That's what makes it objective. It's like looking, again, at the battle as a general on the hill. And when we do that, we see that the person who's in there pushing the thing forward most is Atticus. He's the prime mover of the objective story. He is the protagonist. And you look at his antagonist. His antagonist is Bob Ewell. Bob Ewell is the father of the white girl who was ostensibly raped. He's the antagonist. And as a result of it, he is doing battle with Atticus. He wants the black man killed. He wants him convicted. He wants him, if not convicted, lynched one way or another. Atticus wants him protected and acquitted. So the two are against each other. That's the objective story of To Kill a Mockingbird. But who do we see the story's eyes through?
The little girl.
Right, Scout. The little girl, Atticus's daughter. As a matter of fact, she narrates it in a narrator function as an older grown-up woman, but as a little girl, she is in the story looking at things through her eyes, and that's who we identify with in the story, that's who we see the story through, is her. She is the main character because she is the prime mover of the subjective view. It's where she goes and what she looks at and how she thinks about things that we, through those considerations, we get the experience of what it's like to live through this as opposed to what it's like to watch it. We watch Atticus and we watch Bob Ewell. We look through her eyes. But there's also somebody else in there that is the subjective equivalent of an antagonist. a character that she runs into, just as the object of story is dealing with prejudice seen analytically, the subject of story is dealing with prejudice passionately. Who is it that Scout is prejudiced against? Who is it that stands in front of her? Boo Radley, right. Now, Boo Radley is the character who is her obstacle. And we've named them differently so we could associate them differently. A main character and an obstacle character in the subject of story, and in the object of story, a protagonist and an antagonist, if you're using archetypes. Now, that main character, because that's where the audience is going to have their pivot point, that's where they look out and see what's happening in the entire story, the person who's most in their face, the person coming at them with the bayonet, the person who's trying to convince them to change in the way they look at things, to change us in the way we look at things, because we identify with the main character, that's the obstacle. They're in our face. They don't have to physically be there all the time, but their impact has to be felt. And in To Kill a Mockingbird, you feel their impact of Boo Radley from the very first scene, all the way through. So the prejudice that we are looking at objectively in the object of story, we are experiencing it subjectively, and that's a wonderful thing, because you look at it at the outside, you disassociate it from yourself. You say, oh, isn't it terrible that that guy is so prejudiced, and look at what this guy is trying to do so heroically to go out and stop it, and gee, why don't they just have the sense to do that? Then we sit here with Scout, and we can't stand Boo Radley from the beginning. We're afraid of him when we see the story. We haven't even met the guy, and we don't like him.
He's the boogeyman.
He's the boogeyman. We have become prejudiced because the author made us so by having the main character share that prejudice in a subjective way. And as a result of it, by the end of the story, she realizes she should not be prejudiced against Boo. He saves her life. And as a result of it, she has changed the way she has felt, and therefore we have changed somewhat as an audience, because we started out in the trap everyone has when you're dealing with prejudice. You don't realize you're prejudiced. Objectively, everything, you can see it in everybody else, but when it comes to me, no, I'm not prejudiced, and yet we all have our own prejudices about one thing or another.